Luke chapter 2,
and reading from verse 21 to 38. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Our last reading, and the one that we want to focus on for a few moments this morning, is from the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. So far the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, the Gospel of John treats the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in a slightly different way than the other Gospels do. John doesn't trace, as Matthew and Luke does, the events surrounding his birth. Doesn't tell us about the angels coming. Doesn't tell us about them traveling to Bethlehem. Doesn't tell us about the wise men and the shepherds. And it's not because those things are irrelevant, obviously not. They are part of God's scriptures. But the scriptures complement each other. In other words, God's revelation fits perfectly with respect to what we need to know, what God wants us to understand. And so God gives us His Word that looks at things in from a different perspective so that we get the full picture, that we don't miss anything out. And so the other Gospels are very clear about relating the events that happened to promises of God that were made many, many years ago, so that the people would understand that what was happening was the very things God had promised from Adam and Eve on, and that they needed to take note of that. They needed to rejoice. They needed to look and wait for the Lord to do and fulfill all the wonderful redemptive promises that He had made in the covenant. But as I say, John seeks to pull back the veil and help us appreciate things that we cannot necessarily get to and see with our eyes. If you will, John gives us a more theological commentary on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's essential that we see that. Because so often we can go to church, we can read even the scriptures, and we can lose sense of the greatness of the truths that we are being told. And we kind of receive them intellectually, but it doesn't hit us as it should. So the Apostle John wants to make sure that we don't miss the glorious aspects beyond what we can see, beyond what the people saw. You know, sometimes people think, oh, you know, if only we were alive when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. If we could have got a glimpse of him in the manger. Or even that we were alive when He was alive and we could hear Him and we could see Him and we can take in all the miracles that He did. But no, we are not less blessed than those people. Not at all. We are more blessed because we have all of God's revelation given to us and explained. And so the heart of Christmas surely is this, captured in the words of this passage: the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John wants us to understand who this person is. And so that's how he begins. He doesn't go, it's down at verse 14 that he says, and the Word became flesh. At the beginning, he's just speaking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Our world goes through such gyrations to exclude God from our reality. And all unbelievers are part and parcel of that. Even if they say they believe in God, it's a construct. It's a concept that they come up with. They don't believe in a personal God. They don't believe in a God that they are responsible and answerable to. If they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't believe in a God whatsoever. The world so-called comforts itself in knowledge that the earth and this universe around us is in millions and billions of years old. Somehow they find comfort in that. And it just came to be. Out of some accident. I mean, I was going to say an accident in the universe, but there was no universe. That somehow things just came into being. That's a lie that we have to get rid of from our minds and hearts. We have to come to the reality that everything that we have just didn't come into being itself. There's a God who created everything. I mean, that alone should grip us. If there's a God that has created all that we see around us, including us, then what relationship do you have with Him? And how foolish it is for us to live our lives and spend our days and have nothing to do with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And John's not going to have any of that. No, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. People can deny that all they want, but it's a reality that they have to confront. Paul speaks about that, of course, in Romans chapter 1. God has revealed Himself through the creation. The very thing that they used to deny that God exists, because we can explain how everything came to be, that was given by God for this very purpose. And anyone with an ounce of honesty cannot look at this creation and then dare say that there is no God. It just happened by itself. I mean, how foolish do you have to be? But you underestimate man if you think no one does that. Oh no, he rises to that occasion. What Paul says. Even though staring us in the face, every day it stares us in the face as the sun rises and makes its orbit and brings light and reveals all of God's wonderful creation and intricacies and majesty, man goes his merry way and enjoys it and does whatever he wants to do and denies Oh, it's not that they don't see the evidence. They do see it. They enjoy it. They benefit from it. But what do? They substitute it for a lie. You can't substitute something, a lie for something, unless it's something that you understand and you don't like. They get the point, but they don't like the point. And so they reject God's truth. They'll argue vehemently for it. People of God, it's not for us to prove these things. Just be mindful of the fact that they do know these things, and they just don't like them. There's nothing wrong in letting them know that the gig is up. God knows what they're doing. We know what they're doing. We're not going to waste our time going over stuff that is obvious and self-evident, except to point it out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As I've said before, you know, we yearn, and so many people yearn for something extraterrestrial to come to us. Oh, that would make their day, wouldn't it? They would just be over the moon. But no one's come, and nobody will. But one has come. There is a being. There's many beings outside of our world. But they don't want them. They want to deny angels. They want to deny God. But any other kind of being, oh no, we'll love that. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all that they see, all that we see around us, has been created by Him. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. And to make it personal, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You owe your existence to Him. You can't even breathe your next breath without Him. He's the one that takes care of you. He's the one that provides everything for you. Year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennia after millennia, He has taken care of us. There's no bill that has come down from heaven for all the things that we've used. Free of charge. That's the God that has made us, that has granted us life. In Him was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness. It shines in the darkness. He creates light, and we put it out. We don't want to know. We want to create darkness. We'd rather have darkness, so where all of these truths are no longer seen. They're denied. Denied by the evil one, and we follow him. We don't want to understand the light. It's inconvenient for us because it means we have to humble ourselves. We have to obey Him. Such is the glory of these events. God has interacted with us in a different way than He's ever done before. Oh, He's always been interactive with the world, otherwise we'd just pass away. He's always upheld us. He's always given us all that we need. He's always surrounded us with His rain and sun and mercy in so many different levels and ways. He's always done that. But this day, reminds us that He's come into a different relationship with us than He's done before. You see, this Word became flesh. The God of the universe, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that's created you, is there on earth. Not in His Shekinah glory, not in His power, not roaring as a King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's come into our midst like us. The baby in a manger. Took on humanity. Why? Why does this Word, who is God, who's been from the beginning and will ever be to the end? There is no end, there is no beginning, because it's eternal. That person, that God, became flesh. He is there in a manger. You wanted to ignore Him? Wanted Him to stay somewhere where we can't see Him and can't hear Him? We'll take all the help that He gives, but we're not interested in any close connection with Him. He has come to you. He has come to us. And he took, and he came to us in human form. And you may say, well, why? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why would he come in this way? What's the reason that he comes in this way? Well, the scriptures are very clear about that. Why did he become flesh? So that he might taste our death. That he might take upon himself our sins, as Isaiah tells us very clearly. So that he could be bruised for our iniquities. The judgment that rests upon us because of our disobedience and ignorance of God might be placed on him, and he would take the penalty for it, which is death itself. There was no other reason for God to become flesh. God can do everything that he wants. So why does he need to take this step? Because he couldn't die for us. God cannot die. He's eternal. So how was he to take our death upon himself? How was he to suffer the penalty for our sins? By becoming flesh and tasting death for each and every one. That's why it's so critical. That's why it's so humbling for us to see that with our own eyes. He humbled himself. He set aside his divine privileges, as Philippians 2 tells us. And he took on human nature and became a servant, even unto death itself. The divine has come to take away your sin and mine. People of God, how come? That's why I said, how can we live our lives without that truth dominating everything? Dominating our life, dominating our purpose for life, dominating everything that we say and think and do. How is it that we can ignore that? We can just accept it as some sort of intellectual thought and then just carry on our lives, go on our merry way. Then we really haven't understood it. Then we really haven't understood what John, the Apostle John, is stressing. That word that was in the beginning, that word that was with God, that word that was God, that word that created everything and created you and created me, became flesh for you and me to lay down his life, a ransom for me. People of God, God becoming flesh for us. It's not so much seeing the Lord Jesus Christ that is important. That isn't important. So we ought not to yearn for that. No, what it is that we may be able to see by faith who he is and why he came. That's the truth. That's what John is trying to emphasize to us. Even though we rejected him, even though we were just like the world, not interested, don't want to know, just give me the things from heaven and that's fine. You stay up there, we stay down here. That's good enough for us. Kind of like the Israelites. Just take care of us. But don't come too close because that's uncomfortable. And it was because they were stiff-necked people. No, that's not. Remember what Moses says? God said, okay, just take them to the promised land. I'll send the angels to protect you and guide you, and you just take them to the promised land. And you remember what Moses' response was? We're not going. You're not coming with us? We're not going. If you're not coming with us, it's pointless. It's pointless. If God isn't in your life is pointless. It's futile. It's worthless. It's without hope. Just meandering around. Just wasting time. Now, this is the most wonderful gift that God has given us. Not the creation, not the wonderful things we enjoy and see and smell and taste and engage in. No, those are all wonderful, thank you very much. And we bless God for them. But it's this, that he gave his Son to bring us close to himself. in Adam and Eve's terms, to bring them back into the paradise. In terms of the Israelites in Egypt, to rescue them from their bondage and bring them into a land, God's land, where they could fellowship with Him. For us, is to translate us from the kingdom of darkness, following the devil, into the kingdom of life and light and working and serving Him all the days of our lives. That's why the Word became flesh. But ultimately, to bring us into a relationship with Himself. Though many respond to these truths and ignore them, to those that believe in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. You know, sometimes we think God wants something from us. God is lacking something. He's not lacking anything. I mean, how ridiculous for us even to think on those terms. God isn't lacking anything. And churches should never act that way, that somehow churches are begging people to come into their churches and fill the pews like, oh, we can't, we're so afraid we're going to pass out of existence. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need anyone. It's He that is doing us a favor, not we doing Him a favor. Sometimes we give the idea that people will are giving God a favor by attending church. Nothing of the sort. God is granting us rest. It's a privilege for you. He gives you the right to become the children of God. You don't say, okay, then I'll take it. Like it's a sale and you can't get rid of these things. No, He gives us the privilege to be the children of God, to have access to Him, to go into the Holy of Holies, to cry out, Abba, Father, to have a place in His mansions where He is preparing a place for us, to dwell with Him for eternity. God will never get sick of us. He'll never say, you know, I'm done with this game. I'm bored with this game of humans. Let's just let them go out of existence. No, God will never be bored with us because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and given us a right to be called the children of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, this day, John wants us to understand, is so phenomenal, so supernatural, such a connection between the Creator, the heavens and the earth, and us creatures, sinners and rebels that we are, that God bridged that gap by becoming flesh and dwelling among us and taking upon Himself all of our burdens, all of our sins, and bringing forth and bringing us into a wonderful and an eternal relationship of peace and grace. Not that God didn't do anything before. He did. He sent the law, He sent prophets, but it never did work out, did it? Truth came through, the law came through Moses. God told them all of these things, but it didn't help because they were so stubborn in their hearts. So now what was different with the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't just come to give us truth. He came with power to deal with our sins once and for all. So with Him came truth and grace. And grace. People of God, here we have God's greatest gift to us, Himself, for the purpose of bringing us into a relationship with Himself. You weren't there when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. You didn't see Him with your eyes. You can read about Him in the Scriptures. No one has seen God at any time. But you want to see God, you want to experience Him. The only begotten Son has made Him known and is making Him known. Come to Him. Recognize who He is. Bow before Him and worship Him and thank Him for all that He's done. And seek to know Him more and more each day. A of your life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you bring these truths to us through your word. And our Father in heaven, we pray that they would never fail to amaze us, never fail to thrill our hearts, never fail to give us meaning and purpose and comfort and hope and peace and strength. What our world needs but refuses. But we're so thankful because you've given us a mission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. A mission not without any hope, because we know by your Holy Spirit you are able to open hearts and minds and wills. And so, our Father, we pray that we might indeed share this wonderful truth to all, and that you would gather your church according to your most perfect will. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless your people, bless their celebrations, and may they give honor and glory to your name. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we respond, as we sing carol number 19,